Hello. Welcome to Milo's Radio Hour on Radio Laureate. I hope you're having a good week. I hope it's been a pretty good week for you guys. That hasn't been too stressful. You've been able to relax and take care of yourself. There's always too much homework to do. There's almost too much work and studying and revisioning. There's always something you got to catch up on. And that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. This is the first month. There's going to be... We only just started the semester. We're like in the middle. We're not really in the middle of the semester yet. But we're getting close. The reading week is coming. It's on its way. And I don't know if that actually marks the middle of the semester. Maybe? Like, I always thought it was a bit early, because I always considered the semester to be 4 months. So in this case, January through to, to the end of April. But it seems like, that's when the semester ends, but we don't have classes, for the majority of April, because most of it is, because that's exam period. So, an exam period is tough, but it's not, it's obviously, it doesn't count as class, so that would kind of take away the whole month of April out of the question. So that's not really a part of the semester, because you only have a handful of exams. You only have to go to the campus a maximum of 5 times during that month. So... Really, the semester, the classes the semester is a 3-month period. So that would place the middle of the semester in the second week of the second month of term. And I'm pretty sure that reading week this year in winter 2023 is in the second week of the second month of the term. So it's dead center in the middle of the semester. So that means that in a few weeks, we're going to be halfway done this term. And for a lot of people who have the summer off, this is great news. And they're going to be one step closer to that sense of freedom again. And it's going to be good. It's going to be a time of rejoicement. Time to be happy and to be positive about what's to come. And then there's the people who are graduating. And whose semester this is their last semester. And those people will also be rejoicing and they will be happy. Because they will only have... months of this left before they're off. Maybe they're off to better things. So for those people, things are getting brighter. Things are only getting brighter. Every day we're getting closer to the end. The people who have a spring term, we're gonna study during the summer. Those people don't get any relief. And I mean, there's no rejoicement. There's no nothing to look forward to. These people are stuck and they're trapped. So I guess this is it's not a happy moment for everyone. It's only happy for people are going to have we're looking for whoever a free semester, whoever a free summer term. We're looking towards brighter days. For those people, every day is better. It gets closer to their goal. But I hope you've been okay, and that you've been able to. Yep, you've been able to enjoy yourself, and yeah, things are coming along fine. So, I. Well, I hope that's been good for you guys, and that this week has been relatively easy. But with that in mind, I'm gonna keep going with this show because that's what this time is for, after all. Camilo's Radio Hour on Radio Laurier. If you've come here tonight, that means you're expecting a show. So, this week I have another look into Dylan and his works. And it's really something that hopefully is interesting to you, because that is the show at this point. That is the full show at this point. And the theme of the show is basically to answer the question of who is Bob Dylan and why should I listen to him? And it's probably, why should I listen to him? And there's probably a lot of reasons for why you shouldn't listen to him. Why you shouldn't listen to Bob Dylan, because I mean, most obviously and importantly is that he is way too old at this point to be relevant to our generation. And he doesn't sound anything like contemporary music that you've grown accustomed and is relatable. And his name is just, it just strikes like, it's just, it strikes like, it just sounds ancient, or it just sounds too old. It's old fashioned. It's out of fashion. And you wouldn't really have Bob Dylan mixed in with your playlists, with your current playlists. I mean, that doesn't, it just sounds like a bad combination to me, if you consider it. But if Bob Dylan, I mean, he was famous about 80 years ago, 80 or what, 60, 80 or 60 years ago. If he was famous then maybe it was because he was pretty good. And I guess that's what intrigues me. That's what I would like to know, maybe confirm and maybe verify. See if he was any good, and in what sense, and how does that apply to these days? How can I understand that he's good by the standards of today? Maybe that's the question that interests me. That's why I want to keep. That's why I want to know more. That's what keeps me digging. So I'll play for you the first Dylan song of the week, and see if maybe you find it enjoyable. And see if maybe it intrigues you to know more about this guy. So please enjoy Highway 61 Revisited. And that was Highway 61 Revisited. The name, it's a title track. It is a track, it's the name of a track, and it's also the name of his 1965 album, Highway 61 Revisited. And that's considered one of his best works. But this particular song does pretty good. It is, I think it is considered part of his good works. But anyways, interesting enough, that was that. Bob Dylan won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 2016, more than 50 years after he entered the musical scene. So a common question people ask when they face this information is, I mean, I mean, did Bob Dylan really deserve a Nobel Prize? So to answer this question, it requires understanding the selection process for the Nobel Prize of Literature. The prize for literature is dedicated to the person who produced in the field of literature the most outstanding work in an ideal direction as described by Alfred Nobel in his will. And that's the requirement. That's how you win a Nobel Prize in Literature. Produce in the field of literature the most outstanding work in an ideal direction. And previous winners of the Nobel Prize for Literature include Winston Churchill in 1953, Albert Camus in 1957, William Golding, the author of Lord of the Flies in 1982. And a few other people, a lot of other people, because the award goes back to 1901. And every year they get someone else wins the award. So stretches a long way. The prize for literature is usually given to poets, authors, but also playwriters, philosophers, and politicians. And most of them share the element of mastery of with words, creating, it's known as creating surreal works and narration, involving religious or philosophical themes. It's very commonly associated with these Nobel Prize laureates. Or winners, they call them Nobel Prize winners, basically. Dylan was the first singer-songwriter to claim this title, and I think the only one up to date. So his award was recognized for his contributions in creating a new style of poetry in America, and the bold and innovative move of incorporating social and political protest messages in his songs. As well as his general mastery with rhymes and surreal lyrical imagery. These were among the reasons for his successful nomination and win of the Nobel Prize in 2016. So my selection for this breakthrough in Bob Dylan's career is a 1965 release single, Positively Fourth Street, a song describing the social struggles of American adults and what he really thinks about some of the people he was forced to deal with. So please enjoy this selection of Bob Dylan. Positively Fourth Street. So to recap and to give you some background into the works of Dylan. That was a single of 1965, the year of his album, Highway 61 Revisited. Rather good year for Dylan, all things considered. And there he was talking about struggles, talking about problems he has with people. Wasn't very typical in music at that time. So if you can kind of see a little bit of how Dylan's kind of pointed music into the modern direction, which is to basically talk about things, talk about yourself as if you were just a regular person. And you had thoughts and feelings and just it's fine to sing about that and to release stuff like that. Because it wasn't, I mean, it was just, it was a, I guess it was a fresh take into that. But yeah, that's what Dylan did from, that would be that song. And so to recap, to know more about this guy, it's interesting to know that He's known as the first producer of classic rock. So there were artists before him who dwelled in similar genres like rock and roll, and the blues, which were popular a long time before Dylan. And well, Dylan took inspiration from those things as well. But the story goes that when Dylan picked up the electric guitar, he supposedly kickstarted the age of classic rock. And his album, Highway 61 Revisited, was maybe the first rock album that can be considered rock. That's the way I was told the story. So that's what I'm telling you now. What's really interesting about that is that rock is not even Dylan's biggest legacy. See, because before all that, Dylan was already famous. Before he created classic rock, Dylan was famous for other things. So he's kind of like this multi-dimensional artist. And he was famous for protest songs, which he developed in the folk scene. And that's what really Dylan, that's what he's all about. Not the protest songs. The protest songs were just a phase for Dylan. He got famous because of it. It was relevant at the time. It really was. And that's why he became famous. A lot of people paid attention to his protest songs. They were moved by them. And that's not him. That's not the end of his thing, his gig. I mean, he stopped doing that after a while, and then he created classic rock, and then he stopped using the electric guitar. He said, "I don't want to use this thing anymore." Drops it. Then he, well, he had a phase where he sang songs about love, and they were pretty good songs about love. But so even that didn't last. Even that was just a phase, and he moved past that, and he went on tour, and he had something. He had what I would call a circus. What I think he called himself. He called it himself a circus, I'm pretty sure. He marketed it as a almost like a like just a collection of a bunch of artists, kind of on the fringe side of art, on the outskirts of town, and he would tour with them and. But even that kind of artistic expression and freedom and liberty, even that stuff was that was only for a few. That was for some time. That was for some time. All of these things have to do with what he's all about, which is folk music. But they when you try to kind of fit him into like one type of artist or one type of he makes this type of music, I mean, you're gonna get it wrong. I mean, unless you're focusing on the fact that he makes folk music. And to Dylan, folk music is pretty much anything. As he says in his Nobel Prize speech, all you have to do is be well versed and be able to play the melody. Folk songs are different than radio songs he was used to hearing in his early life. The radio songs, a performer might get a hit with a roll of the dice or a fall of the cards, but that didn't matter in the folk world. In the folk world, everything was a hit. I'm going to present to you a legendary Bob Dylan hit. This song is, it's really about nothing, and it came out during his rock phase. However, it's strictly an acoustic and very humble song. Kind of brings him back to his roots in the midst of his Please, so the, please, this is Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan. I think it's an enjoyable song. And I think it's a nice melody. And I think if you pay attention to what he's saying, I mean, you might get blown away. Because it's a lot of words, it's a lot of writing. And it all means something to him. That's why he wrote it down. And that's why he decided to sing about it. And he thought it went well with his melody. So to break down that song would be, I think you would just find, you would find a pure song. And you would find something enjoyable. You would have something to share. You would have, you know what? You'd be like, I really wish that I could listen to this with someone. That someone else could kind of listen to this and get it. Get what I mean by it when I tell you that it's good. But who knows? It's Mr. Tambourine Man by Bob Dylan. So in 2015, a qualified person was invited to submit a nominee to the Nobel Awards of 2016. And their nomination was Bob Dylan. So we don't know if Dylan had been nominated before or if this was his first time. Most likely, he's been nominated a few times and almost always eliminated in the preliminary rounds. So they do a lot of filtering there, the Nobel Awards. The Nobel Award committees. He shed off the excess. That's probably where Dylan ended up most of these years. Maybe since his debut in 1962. We don't know. So we don't know these things. We don't know all of this because the information on the other nominees who were not selected to win the award of the year they were nominated, it's kept private for a period of 50 years from the day the award is granted. So if you think about it, it wasn't until 2016 that the information of the nominees for the Nobel Prize of 1966 were being made available to the public. In 1966, two people shared the award for literature. And one, Gunter Grass, was nominated, but was not chosen as the winner. Gunter Grass came back and won the award in 1999. 33 years after a nomination in 1966. Anyways, 1966 was an important year for Bob Dylan. A year right in the middle of his classic phase. He had just released the supposedly first rock album of history in 1965. And this was the year of his follow-up release. In 1966, Bob Dylan released Blonde on Blonde, a renowned album, praised by many critics, considered among his top best, maybe some of the top best albums to be produced. It's a rather good album. I like it personally. There's a lot of songs. There's quite a few songs in them, and I don't know them all. But in light of this milestone, I have selected a song from this album. Sooner or later, One of Us Must Know. So as you listen to it, I'm going to keep you maybe think about the fact that, does this song sound Nobel Prize worthy to you? Who was going to know in 1966 that Bob Dylan was going to receive a Nobel Prize 50 years into the future? I don't know. But I'll let you decide for yourself. Please enjoy this selection.
I'm not sure what you thought about that song. I'm not sure what you thought about for that song. I'm hoping you enjoyed it. I think it's a nice song. I think it's kind of refreshing. It's a different sound. It's not what you're used to listening to. And I don't know if that song would go well. I don't know if that song would blend into your other songs in a playlist. Because it might really not. But it was something he produced it in 1966. He was proud of it at the time. It's part of one of his best. You know, it's a glorified album. It's one of the songs on that album. So, so it's good. So it's good in that sense. By those standards, it's a good song. In 2016, it was a big year for Dylan. He finally broke through and was acknowledged as the person who produced the most outstanding piece of literature that headed in an ideal direction. As declared by the requirements of the Nobel Prize for Literature. So what was going on that year? That Dylan raised enough support to make his mark on the Nobel scene. Well, in 2016, Dylan released his 37th album. 37th studio album. Called Fallen Angels. So when you talk about a lifelong career for this guy, I mean, it's not an exaggeration. So Blonde on Blonde was his sixth album, and it was, I mean, renowned, right, for its greatness, and it's still remembered to this day as one of his best albums, and that was his sixth album. And then in 2016, he released his 37th studio album. So when I say a lifelong career, Dylan really captures the full meaning of that word. So, Fallen Angels, this album was a collection of covers of classic American folk songs. Supposedly, it's a dedication to Frank Sinatra, since every song on the album had once been sung by Sinatra minus one. So, at this point in his life, Dylan is looking back at his inspirations and interpreting them with the style he's developed throughout his career. And this was the second of Bob Dylan's albums that carried the Sinatra theme. So Fallen Angels was ranked well with critics and generally pretty well with fans. And it came out before he was awarded the Nobel Prize. So that was his last publication before winning the award. So the songs based off a catalog of foundational American folk songs. Dedication of Frank Sinatra. A lot of these songs got an old-fashioned taste to them. And I know I've heard them before. Because they sound familiar. But I don't know where and I don't know when. However, I invite you to listen to the opening track of the album, Young at Heart, a cover of Johnny Richards and Carolyn Lee's original 1953 song. Please enjoy. In spite of the fact that Bob Dylan performed only songs, his works were considered as literature in 2016, and technically still count as literature to this day. Winston Churchill, who won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1953, was credited for his contributions in biographical history. His autobiographies of the years as a war general were outstanding historical works and displayed his abilities as a writer. However, on top of the biographical works, Churchill was also credited and recognized for his brilliance in oratory speeches. His wartime speeches were supposedly very successful and moving. There's a movie called The Darkest Hour, a 2017 war drama, which I think places Winston Churchill front and center, and his brilliant speeches, I believe, are featured in the film. These speeches were made available to read as literature, but the primary means of experiencing them was by listening to them live, spoken out loud. So if Churchill was acknowledged for his oratory as he received the Nobel Prize, then it makes Dylan's success seem more plausible, and it makes a bit more sense. You know, it wasn't a terrible step into the wrong direction. Because although Bob Dylan didn't make literature, just as Churchill didn't publish his speeches in a paperback book, he did write lyrics, and he did give an oratory performance. So it is justified that Bob Dylan was a candidate for the prize in literature. My final selection for this evening is one of Bob Dylan's most lyrically pleasing songs, and this is going to close off the night. So I invite you to listen to a song that I think is lyrically pleasing. Crazy to think that he has a catalog full of songs like this. And if you really studied them, you could argue that there are better songs than the one I'm going to present to you. But for now, please enjoy Stuck Inside a Mobile with the Memphis Blues again.